From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Bank Indonesia considers to further raise interest rate. The United Kingdom eases visa application processes for Indonesian students. Now the news in detail. Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio said the central bank is considering to further raise its benchmark interest rate to meet external pressure on the national currency. He said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the central bank would take further monetary steps by the end of June that could be another increase in benchmark interest rate and relaxation of loan for house or loan to value. He said the central bank would be consistent in applying the preemptive policy and to continue to be ahead of the curve to meet the pressure against stability as a result of the increase in the fund rate of the U.S. Central Bank and the policy of the European Central Bank. Perry said Bank Indonesia is ready to launch a preemptive front-loading and ahead-of-the-curve policy. Further step could be raising the interest rate and at the same time relaxation of LTV policy to boost the housing sector. In addition, the central bank would continue to optimize double intervention in the state securities and foreign exchange market and while keeping a loose liquidity. He was confident the Indonesian economy, especially financial asset market, will remain strong that would attract foreign as well as domestic investors. The United Kingdom visas and immigration service is easing visa application processes for Indonesian students by reducing the documentation requirements for Tier 4 student visa applicants. The adjustment is being made under changes to the United Kingdom's immigration rules due to come into effect on July 6, as revealed in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, June 19. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muanza Malik stated that the changes mean Indonesian students will no longer be required to provide evidence of finances, qualifications, or their English language ability along with their visa application. He noted that the simplification of the UK visa process for Indonesian students is great news for thousands of young people starting courses this autumn and for those considering to take up studies in the UK in years to come. Changes in the visa application processes also mean that Indonesian students will no longer need to apply from within Indonesia to be eligible to benefit from the new rule. Ambassador Malik explained that the UK is making it easier for Indonesian students to come and study in its educational institutions. He is grateful for the contribution they make to education in Britain. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Finland Foreign Affairs Minister Timo Soini became the co-host of the United Nations High-Level Advisory Board on Mediation in Helsinki, June 18. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and members of High-Level Advisory Board on Mediation attended the summit. On her welcome speech, Minister Ratno delivered three suggestions for the Secretary General and the Commission regarding mediation: conflict, the preventive measures, and building peace. First, the importance in enhancing the communication with community leaders and religious figures to maintain the value of tolerance. The second suggestion, the vital issue in changing the culture of reaction to the culture of prevention. Minister Ratna expressed support to UN Secretary General for making conflict prevention as a priority of the intergovernmental organization. Thirdly, the necessity to spread habit of dialogue, respect international law, and partnership between regional organizations in a bid to prevent conflict. The three inputs were in line with Indonesian priority as the non-permanent UN Security Council member, which for the period of 2019 to 2020. Responding to the speech of UN Secretary General on the role of women in peace, Minister Ratna Marsudi stated, "It was fundamental to empower women in eradicating terrorism, considering that women played an important role in creating peace." The rupiah is expected to strengthen now that the Eid holiday is over, despite a FFR hike. Bank Permata economist Joshua Pardede said that the Federal Reserve's decision to raise interest rates by 25 bps may give power to the US dollar over global currencies. However, he believes the rupiah will be fine, as Bank Indonesia has taken preemptive policies to stabilize the currency. BI increased the 7-day repo rate twice in May. In the last few days, the dollar index has strengthened by some 1.8% since the FFR was increased last Thursday. Nevertheless, the US Treasury yield tends to decline and is now around 2.9%. With the situation, Joshua said, the rupiah spot rate will weaken during the first after Eid trade week as the one-month NDF-USD IDR tends to increase over the last week. Meanwhile, Garuda Berjangka President Director Ibrahim projected the rupiah to rebound after the long Eid holiday to around 13,800 rupiah to 14,000 rupiah per US dollar. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's ambassador to Russia, Muhammad Wahid Supriyadi, said that the Indonesian embassy is set to once again hold the third festival Indonesia on August 3 to August 5 in the country's capital of Moscow. The annual event will be held at the 16.5-hectare Krasnaya Presnya Park in Russia and is hoped to attract roughly around 120,000 visitors. Ambassador Wahid in Moscow on Sunday said, "The Festival Indonesia is an integrated event saturated with trade, tourism, and investments. There will be cultural performances, culinary, fashion, batik workshops, wayang, and many more." The ambassador claims that the event helped improve the number of Russian tourists visiting Indonesia, considering that there were around 80,000 Russian tourists that visited Indonesia following the first two events, or a 22.5% increase. Ambassador Wahid also said that he is yet provided with valid data on the number of Indonesians visiting Russia. However, he is certain that Indonesians have chosen Russia as a popular destination to visit. Following a night-long search, the head of the National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas, Muhammad Shawgi, said that his team finally discovered the exact location where the KM Sinar Bangun boat tragically capsized at one of Indonesia's largest volcanic lakes, Lake Toba, in North Sumatra. The KM Sinar Bangun reportedly capsized in its way to the port of Tiga Ras from the port of Simanindo, Samoris, at around 17:30 Indonesian Western Time on Monday. The boat, mostly made from wood, suspectedly carried up to hundreds of passengers together with dozens of motorcycles, which is well over the boat's limits. It is believed that the boat sunk after being hit by high tides caused by strong winds. The last item, Russia, the host of 2018 World Cup, has recorded its position in the second round after a 3-1 victory over Egypt on Tuesday, June 19. Therefore, the Russian national team is on the top of the Group A with 6 points from the matches. Report taken from the national radio news agency KBRN, Russia's first goal at St. Petersburg Stadium through Ahmed Fati's own goal in the 47th minute. Russian second goal through Denis Cheryshov on the 15th minute. And the third by Artem Zuba in the 62nd minute. While the Egyptian national team goal scored by Mohamed Salah through penalty execution. If Uruguay with 3 points win over Saudi Arabia by 0 points on Wednesday, June 20, they will ensure South American and Russian teams advance to the top 16 with one game left. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Bank Indonesia considers to further raise interest rate. The United Kingdom eases visa application processes for Indonesian students. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary today entitled Kim Jong-un Visits Beijing. Throughout 2018 alone, Kim Jong-un has visited Beijing 3 times. Last Tuesday, June the 19th, the North Korean Supreme Leader met the Chinese President Xi Jinping. Although the details of the talk were not revealed, it was expected that the discussion were related to Kim Jong-un's meeting with US President Donald Trump, held a week earlier in Singapore. North Korea's relationship with China as a fellow country with the communist ideology has been going on since the era of Kim Jong-un's predecessors, his grandfather Kim Il-sung and his father Kim Jong-il. Kim also wants to seek support from China for reducing U.S. economic sanctions in exchange for North Korea's commitment to denuclearization. China, in a meeting at the UN, proposed that the United Nations Security Council consider reducing the economic sanctions. Although not directly involved in the Singapore meeting, Xi Jinping is suspected of having entrusted a certain message to Kim Jong-un beforehand. China wants its behind-the-scenes position to remain important to North Korea. One of the things North Korea wants before the meeting with Trump is the cessation of US military exercises with South Korea. Reportedly, Trump has taken a policy to stop the activity without much consultation with the Pentagon. China hopes the outcome of Trump's meeting with Kim Jong-un will make the US withdraw its troops from Korean Peninsula. Since the meeting with Trump, Kim Jong-un's star has been shining. There were at least 2 important invitations waiting for him. One from Russian President Vladimir Putin, who wants to meet him. The leader of the North Korea, a country that has been an ally since the Cold War era. Another one is from Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who also hopes to meet Kim Jong-un to discuss, among other things, the issue of Japanese citizens' abduction by North Korea. The contents of Kim Jong-un and Xi Jinping's meeting is yet to be known, but at least the positive expectations that have been built, which is do not get turned down. Indeed, the peace process on the Korean Peninsula will not immediately materialize, but what has been going well should continue and grow as expected by many parties. That was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on June 20, 1982, England recaptured South Sandwich Island. On June 20, 1982, British troops recaptured South Sandwich Island and announced the end of the war after moving the Argentine garrison in South Tule to Corbeta, Uruguay. The Falkland War officially ended after 74 days. In the war, 255 British military personnel, 649 Argentine military personnel, and 3 Falkland civilians were killed. The document of the Argentine Army surrender in Falkland is now kept at the Imperial War Museum, London. Diplomatic relations between Britain and Argentina only recovered in 1989 after the two countries agreed to not discuss the island's sovereignty issues. We turn to another event of Berlin once again become the capital of Germany on June 20, 1991. After the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and reunification in 1990, the German parliament decided to restore the German capital from Bonn to Berlin on June 20, 1991. While the city of Bonn, which had been the temporary capital of the Federal Republic of Germany from November 3, 1949 to 1990, currently becomes the main city and a federal city in Germany. We end today's segment of Today in History with World Refugee Day on June 20. Since 2001, the United Nations launched June 20 as the World Refugee Day. The reason was on June 20, 2001, the 1951 Convention on Refugee Status reached the 50th year. In addition, the Organization of African Unity agreed that the World Refugee Day coincided with the African Refugee Day, which also fell on June 20. The World Refugee Day is commemorated to raise global awareness on refugee situations around the world. On this day, the UN expressed their respect for the courage of refugees who have faced many problems and their contribution to the environment. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to the regular My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about national industry developed to be circular economy. The Indonesian government is intensively developing the concept of circular economy in production process. With the concept, raw materials can be used many times in different life cycles products. Unlike the linear economy that embraces the take-make-dispose principle, the main principles in the concept of circular economy are rethink, reduce, reuse, recycle, and recovery or repair, better known as 5R. This was stated by the head of Industrial Research and Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Industry, Ngakan Timur Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, June 16. Ngakan explained, the 5R principle can be done through reducing the use of raw materials from nature, through the optimization of the use of reusable materials and the use of materials resulting from recycling, or from the process of recovery, or by doing repair. In addition, waste generation due to the dispose process can be reduced through reuse, recycle, and waste recovery effort. Ngakan Timur Antara also said that currently, the processing industry still becomes an important pillar for the national economy. In the first quarter of this year, the manufacturing industry is the largest contributor of gross domestic product, with contribution reached to 20.2% of total national gross domestic product. He hoped, seeing from the large contribution of the processing industry in the national economy, the manufacturing sector becomes a leading sector and provides widespread impact in transforming the national economy into the circular economy. To achieve this, the Ministry of Industry has implemented a Green Industry Program. According to Ngakan, Green Industry is a mandate of Law No. 3/2014 on Industry. In the law, Green Industry is defined as an industry that, in its production process, prioritizes efficiency effort and the effectiveness of sustainable resources use. The Industrial Research and Development Agency of the Ministry of Industry through the Research and Development Center of the Green and Environment Industry continues to encourage the national manufacturing industry to implement the green industry through several programs such as the Green Industry Certification. Green Industry Certification is a series of certificate issuance activities to industrial companies in compliance with Green Industry Standard. Green Industry Standard is a reference of industry players in conducting its industrial processes in accordance with the principles of green industry. Green Industry Certification is organized by Green Industry Certification Institute, or LSIH, both under the Ministry of Industry and private LSIH. Currently, 14 Green Industry Certification Institutes have been registered by the Ministry of Industry through regulation of the Ministry of Industry No. 41 of 2017 on the Industry Certification Institutes. Industrial companies can directly apply proposal to the institute in accordance with its scope. Ngakan Antara moreover added that the Ministry of Industry has also launched a Green Industry Certification Assistance Program since 2017. The aid program has targeted to a group of Portland cement industry, crumb rubber, rubber fumigation, and powdered milk processing. For the implementation of Green Industry Certification Assistance Activities in 2018, there have been projected 16 industry companies that will be certified as Green Industry. That was My Indonesia. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Warjio said the central bank is considering to further raise its benchmark interest rate to meet external pressure on the national currency. The United Kingdom Visas and Immigration Service is easing visa application processes for Indonesian students by reducing the documentation requirements for Tier 4 student visa applicants. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Finland Foreign Affairs Minister Timo Soini became the co-host of the United Nations High-Level Advisory Board on Mediation in Helsinki on June 18. The rupiah is expected to strengthen now that the Eid holiday is over, despite a FFR hike. Bank Permata economist Joshua Pardede said that the Federal Reserve's decision to raise interest rates by 25 BPS may give power to the US dollar over global currencies. Indonesia's ambassador to Russia, Muhammad Wahid Supriyadi, said that the Indonesian embassy is set to once again hold the third festival in Indonesia on August 3 to August 5 in the country's capital of Moscow. Following a night-long search, the head of the National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas, Muhammad Shawgi, said that his team finally discovered the exact location where the KM Sinar Bangun boat tragically capsized at one of Indonesia's largest volcanic lakes, Lake Toba, in North Sumatra. Russia, the host of 2018 World Cup, has recorded its position in the second round after a 3-1 victory over Egypt on Tuesday. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of traditions from Banyuwangi Regency. Stay tuned! Listener, Osing people of Kemiren Village, Glaga District, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java, has unique tradition, so-called Barong Ider Bumi. The tradition is routinely held on the second day of Idul Fitri or 2 Shawwal of Islamic calendar because number 2 has its own meaning for Osing people. Kemiren people always associate the tradition with thing which is in a pair such as heaven and hell, men and women, day and night. Besides, some traditions of Kemiren villagers are often held on Tuesday and Thursday. Listener, Barong Ider Bumi tradition is traditional ritual. The ritual is clean ceremony of the village. Usually, the ceremony begins at 2 o'clock p.m. Osing people are taboo to conduct the tradition beyond the time, because beyond the specific time, it is believed to bring about disaster to the community. Listener, Barong is a kind of custom with mask and accessories as depictions of frightening animal. In mythology of Osing people, Barong is believed as symbol of kindness, which has ability to cast out bad evils. Osing people believe that by conducting Barong Ider Bumi tradition, a year life will make happy. The ceremony is held as form of gratitude to the Almighty on His blessing to give peace and prosperity to villagers. In addition, Barong Ider Bumi tradition is believed to be able to drive away disaster or bad luck. In belief of Osing people, Barong can be possessed by the soul of ancestor. Listener, the word of Ider Bumi is compound words, namely Ider and Bumi. Ider means to go around and Bumi means earth. So, the two words mean an event of going around the earth. In accordance with its name, the point of Barong Ider Bumi ritual is to parade Barong going around the village. Before Barong is paraded, the village elders play angklung at village's hall to begin the ritual. Afterwards, all Kemiren villagers come out from the houses and then they begin to parade Barong Osing from the entrance gate of the village to the exit gate of the village. Along the parade, traditional figures spread coins, yellow rice, and flour to the street, and these are seized by kids. The ritual is named Sembur Utik Utik. During Barong Osing Parade, those barongs are also followed by the elders who walk side by side while carrying incense and reading prayer for security of all villagers. The parade is accompanied by Osing traditional music. At the end of the village, the villagers and the barong players seize bananas which are displayed. They believe if they eat the bananas, they will be safe and to be given simplicity in their life. After conducting the ritual, the villagers hold ceremony as closing. It is the peak of the event ceremony by using tumpeng pecel pitik, namely kampung chicken, which is roasted and sprinkled with grated iyang coconut and ingredients. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Barong Ider Bumi from Kemiren Village, Banyuwangi. I'm Putri Savitri Ardella. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is teh manis, or in English, sweet tea. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about teh manis, or in English, sweet tea. Location at Joko's house. Joko's family is celebrating Lebaran. Tony helps Joko and Dinda to prepare foods and sweet tea. Dinda tastes the sweet tea.
Tehnya kurang manis.
Oh, aku akan ambilkan gula.
Hah? Biar aku saja.
Oke. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Maaf.
Listener, after the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, teh manis or sweet tea. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Tehnya kurang manis. Tehnya kurang manis. In English, the tea is less sweet. Gula. Gula. In English, sugar. Aku akan ambil gula. Aku akan ambil gula. In English, I will take sugar. Biar aku saja. Biar aku saja. In English, let me take it. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. In English, I put the sugar near the stove. Listener, in a dialogue, Dinda said, biar aku saja, when Tony will take the sugar. The expression is used to express willingness to help other person, but it is usually used in an informal situation. For example, biar saya saja yang memotong kue. Biar dia saja yang mengambil pisau. In the conversation you've just listened, tehnya kurang manis. Nya, at the word tehnya, has definite meaning. Format of the sentence like this is usually found in a daily speaking. Another example, Tony said,
garpunya tidak ada. Means Tony did not find the fork he was looking for. Listener, if you are at a restaurant and ask for sweet tea, but not too sweet, you can say gulanya sedikit saja, or in English, just a little bit sugar. If you do not want to use sugar at all, you can ask waiters for a sugarless tea by saying teh tawar. Well, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Tehnya kurang manis.
Oh, aku akan ambilkan gula.
Hah? Biar aku saja.
Okay. Tadi gulanya aku simpan di dekat kompor. Maaf.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. And please convey more information if any. For example, alamat rumah saya adalah Jalan Jambu nomor 4. Warna rumah saya putih dengan pagar berwarna hitam. Rumah saya mempunyai 2 lantai. Di depan rumah saya ada pohon mangga. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present some beautiful songs by Fatin Shidkia. To initiate Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song Aku Memilih Setia by Fatin. Happy listening!
Salah satunya, namun engkau datang di saat yang tidak tepat. Cintaku telah dimiliki.
Dalam maafkan diriku. Tapi ku tak bisa bohongi hati kecilku. Bila saja diriku ini masih sendiri, pasti
that was the song Aku Memilih Setia, sung by Fatin Shidqia. The song, which was released in 2013, tells about someone who was tempted by others, although she or he was already in pairs. So, the faithfulness is tested. The song entitled Aku Memilih Setia was a Fatin's first single after she won a singing contest on a national private television station. Anyone will easily recognize Fatin because she has a distinctive vocal and always appear with her hijab style. Listener, the next song entitled Jangan Kau Bohong by Fatin. Enjoy the song.
Just on your phone, jangan kau bohong. Just on your phone, jangan kau bohong. Jangan kau bohongiku, jangan permainkanku. Ku tahu kau telah mendua, ku tahu semua tentang dia. Takkan memaafkanmu, meski kau membujukku. Terserah mau bilang apa, takkan ada yang percaya. Kesabaranku kau uji, sungguh kau tak peduli. Kau tak peduli, kau tak peduli. Kau tahu begini, aku pun tak peduli. Ku tak peduli, ku tak peduli.
Bicis on your phone, jangan kau bohong.
Sikapmu boleh buat jika itu mau.
Tak sadarkah kau kebohonganmu itu? But I don't even care, I'm not even scared. Kau pikir aku takkan bisa mulutmu berbisa?
Kau binasa.
Coba lihat saja siapa nanti yang tertawa. Kecewa jelas kau pancarkan dari mata. sing this song.
Sikapmu dami 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 sudah sudah.
Listener, wearing hijab does not mean that Fatin will sing sad pop songs or religious songs. Through the song Jangan Kau Bohong, Fatin singing with combined pop, hip-hop, and electronic music. The song is a proof that Fatin is quite flexible in her music career. The singer who was born in Jakarta on July 30, 1996, has received many achievements not only in Indonesia but also abroad. She got various awards, such as Best Asian New Female Act Award in DAF BAMA Music Award Germany in 2016 and Popular Artist of Planet Music Singapore Award in 2015. Well, listener, that was the music corner for today about Fatin. To conclude the segment, we'll present the last two songs by Fatin entitled Shoot Me Now and Dia Dia Dia. I'm Putri Sofitri Ardela. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Selalu ku pikir bahwa aku tegar. Aku tak pernah menyangka kan begini. Dan saat engkau tak di sisiku lagi, baru ku rasakan arti kehilangan. Ingin ku bicara hasrat pengungkapan, masih pantas aku bersamamu untuk lalui hitam putih hidup ini. Saat engkau pergi tak kau bawa hati, dan tak ada lagi yang tersisa. Dia, dia, dia telah mencuri hatiku.
Kau bawa hati dan tak ada lagi yang terlalu. Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Ku terhanyut dalam kata rayumu dan ku tahu kamu mencoba untuk berbicara tentang isyarat cinta. Ku mengerti ini sulit untukmu dan ku tahu aku bahkan takkan pernah bisa untuk katakan cinta. Sadarkah bila aku terjerat pesonamu? Ah, okay, mungkin aku takkan jadi yang pertama untuk mengungkapkan. Jika kau merasakan yang ku rasakan, shoot me now, shoot me now. Okay, mungkin aku takkan bisa. Ku tak ingin menunggu lebih lama. Katakanlah semua yang kau rasa, shoot me now, shoot me now. Setiap kali akan memulai lagi ayuan yang sama berjuta kali tanpa bisa nyatakan cinta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Pernahkah selama ini ku berhenti mencintaimu? Pernahkah kau mendengar ku tak ucap sayang padamu? Tetap jantung ku selalu sebutkan namamu. Oh, oh, oh. Cintamu telah membuat hatiku terukir jelas dirimu. Engkaulah jiwa.
Kan ku lakukan segalanya.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.